This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I am one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing this week?
I'm okay, I think.
It sounds like we don't have a lot to talk about. We're just like, well.
You see, the thing is, Tom, I was humiliated this week.
Oh, more than usual?
Yeah. Can I tell you a tale of the trials
humiliation? Sure.
And tribulations,
Tim,
of Tim?
I got all the time in the world for a tale about you being humiliated.
Yeah.
Were you pants somewhere?
No, it was worse than this because it was...
worse than pantsing. Melvin?
Melvin is what? A reverse wedgie?
Yeah, front wedgie.
So it hurts your...
genitals.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. There's nowhere for the underwear to go. And around back, it goes, you know, in between your butt cheeks.
Yeah.
Around
there's somewhere
front,
to go.
Yeah. There's no give.
Yeah, that stinks.
Yeah.
Bill and Ted gave a Melvin to Death,
yeah,
the Grim Reaper.
Death himself, who I would have assumed didn't even wear underwear.
Yeah, well, they also used a slur against... But it was a different time.
Yeah.
If they remake those, or if they...
The writers have since said, like, that's, like,
they
one of
the
biggest
They used the F word, the bad
regrets.
F word.
Yeah.
Between you and me, Tom, we don't want this new Bill and Ted movie to happen, right?
No, like, I want it to happen.
Look, sure, we all want to be 10 years old again and watch Bill and Ted. But guess what? We're not 10 years
old.
I'll
tell you what. I'm 10 years old every time I watch Bill and Ted. Those two movies, Bogus...
You just want to go back to a time when you can use that bad F word as a
no.
slur.
No, Bogus Journey is, I'm going to say, it's the best sequel of any movie ever.
Sure. Yeah.
So
okay.
I have like more faith than.
And then you wait 30 years and you do another one.
I'm just saying it's not necessarily in the bag that it's going to be good, but if anybody can make it good, it's the screenwriters and those actors.
I
like,
guarantee you would much rather see John Wick 6 or whatever.
John Wick 3. He rides a horse in this one.
Oh, yeah. No, but like. All right, John Wick 4 then. Like another John Wick rather than another Bill
Look,
and Ted.
It doesn't have to be either.
Yeah, they let these franchises sit for like decades and then they're like, well, everybody will love it again. And then nobody likes it. But everybody gets all like their hopes up and then they get angry when it's bad. Remember when it started with the Indiana Jones and the,
and the crystal
skull.
People
lost their minds because there were aliens. Even though angels were in the other ones and like
were angels in it
or like God came down and like
what movie are you talking about?
Raiders of the Lost Ark, right?
God comes down
at the end. They show like they
oh,
put the thing into
not,
the thing.
Not Raiders Last Crusade.
No, Raiders of the Lost Ark. I recently saw it, Tom.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen it in a long time.
Anyway,
if you're telling me God's in it, sure.
Yeah, they know that like God's a thing for real.
Yeah.
Like that, like the wrath of God kills all the Nazis or
so
something.
So it's kind of like the prequel to God's Not Dead.
Right. I mean, it's God's Not Dead was a remake of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay.
A reboot.
Right.
With a more charismatic lead.
Kevin Sorbo? Was he the lead in God's Not Dead? No.
I thought it was Kirk Cameron.
Kirk Cameron?
But that might. I'm thinking of Left Behind.
Yeah. It's hard to keep track of all these Christian movies.
So
with today's biggest stars.
I was in a meeting, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And you ever think of your life? Do you ever think that at one point you'd be in a meeting, and it's you and a bunch of grown-ups that you never met, and you're all sitting in like a conference room talking about like business and stuff?
No, like as a kid, you mean, or like a year ago? Did I ever think
either
that?
Or? Does that ever seem like a realistic possibility that this would happen to you? Like, well, I just met all these men and women for the first time. Mm-hmm. We're going to sit down. We're all dressed very nicely.
Get to business.
Yeah, and we're going to sit, and like we're all going to be a little bored, mm-hmm. but like that's life.
Yeah, I guess like as a kid, I never really thought about that. I haven't been in like too many boring meetings with like outside people.
Yeah. So this is what made it so worse, Tom. Mm-hmm. I met all these people. I was like, you're really keeping it together, Tim. These guys think you're a grown up just like them.
You were saying this out loud?
I don't think my lips might have been moving. Right. So if there was a lip reader in the crowd, I'm screwed already at this point.
Based on experience, Tim, usually when you say, I think just my lips were moving, you're usually saying it very softly still.
Keeping it together, Tim. You're doing a great job. These men respect you.
They think you're a businessman just like them.
Yes. Keep it up. Keep it up, buddy. So I brought my laptop computer with me.
Oh, how businesslike. Did you bring it in a briefcase?
No, I brought it in a backpack, and this was my fatal flaw. Because I keep a lot of things in my backpack. So I meet everybody. I'm shaking hands. I'm talking in a very measured, professional voice. And then everybody sits down. They're taking out their notebooks. They're taking out their computers. I reach in, and I take out my computer. But also, in the same pouch as my computer was a Mad magazine. And I took out my computer and put it on the thing, and the Mad magazine just falls onto the floor. And I don't know. It's like these Mad magazine issues are not that, like, hefty.
No.
But I swear to God, it was just like, bam!
Landed like a phone book.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I don't know how it happened. Uh-huh. But everybody's eyes immediately were drawn to the Mad magazine. And everybody's like, oh, yes, Mad magazine. And I, like, literally was just...
My son likes that.
Which would have been, like, I bought that for my son. They don't know. Yeah. Whatever. A man, look.
Well, it was probably all dog-eared.
But, yeah, and I literally... I had nothing to say, so I just went like, I don't know why that's there. Which isn't a...
No, I mean... Yeah,
how did that get in there?
Now you're immature and a liar.
Yeah.
What you should have said was, what me worry.
Yeah. Well, I'm afraid they saw me as a regular Alfred E. Newman from that point on out.
Yeah.
No, I think, you know what? These days, even businessmen are cool.
He says even businessmen read Mad magazine.
Or they're hip to like, hey, yeah. Look, they might not be in a loyal follower of the usual gang of idiots like the rest of us. But like, look, these guys, they've done cocaine probably. I've never done cocaine, right? So if they're like, I could just be like, hey, guess what? If you're gonna,
well, guess what? I've never done cocaine.
Yeah, exactly. So you're criminals. I'm just a little, I'm a little immature, but you're criminals.
I'm just a little boy. You're adult criminals.
No, so it ended with me threatening to call the police and turn them in for cocaine
for cocaine use at some undetermined
until
previous
they stop
time.
Laughing at me.
Well, so you know what you gotta do now. Next meeting with these people, you gotta put a hustler in your backpack.
Yeah, that way they'll know I'm cool.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a grown up.
Oh,
this is what grown ups do.
Oh, he likes printed pornography.
No. Penthouse, the letters.
Penthouse Forum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dear Penthouse Forum.
Do they sell? I only know that from Seinfeld. Like I know it's a thing. Do they sell that at newsstands? Or did
they
sell
that?
I mean,
they used to. Yeah.
It's just like letter. It's perverted letters.
There's some pornography in there as well. Some titillating photos.
Is it like the size of a TV guy?
Yeah, it's like a TV,
like a Reader's Digest.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. And I think because like all those magazines, all those nudie magazines.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess maybe not all of them. I can't speak from too much experience. Like I think like the really filthy ones, they probably are just wall to wall pornography. But I know, like, as a kid, anytime, like, you got your hands on, like, a Playboy.
In the woods.
Yeah.
A waterlogged Playboy.
A waterlogged Playboy. You're always like, hot dog, here we go. 60 pages of nude women.
First, let me flip through this Henry Kissinger interview.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there were very few photographs.
Yeah.
So I think Penthouse Forum was kind of the same. Like, I think there's, like, some photos. That, I think it literally is printed, like, TV Guide, where there's, like, the glossy photos and
oh,
then
the
like,
features up front and
yeah
then,
and then like newspaper type stock for the question and answer.
Well, that's interesting.
I don't even know if there were. I don't know if it's question and answer.
I don't think of it.
I think it's just like here's something that happened. Like
here's
I'm not
a, here's a wacky perverted situation.
Yeah, here's a wild tale of how I had a threesome. I don't think they're necessarily looking for advice. They just want to share it with the other miscreants.
Yeah, it looks like these are guys that should be giving the advice.
Yeah.
If
well, in a lot of ways
gone,
they were.
If they've experienced these escapades.
You could read their escapades and then model your own life after the way they live their lives, hoping to get the same outcome, the same
That's
results.
That's better than any self-help book, right?
Yeah. Well,
Here's
they've
how to do depraved acts.
They've often said that Penthouse Forum's the best self-help book that there is, and it comes out every month.
Wow.
It might be bi-monthly. I'm not sure. You know what? I should really have done my research before I walked into this this interview today.
I would like to remind you, you are under oath. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Tom?
Yes.
What's your social battery like right now?
Beep.
Oh.
Boo.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Uh-huh.
Tom, I'll tell you from my perspective, since you're avoiding the question.
Uh-huh.
My social battery feels a little drained right now.
That was what that second sound was.
The getting
But
drained.
I had to do the going up to
you,
show you the going
You gotta
down.
Go up to get down.
That's what my first single's about.
It's weird. I feel kind of drained socially, even though you can attest, I don't do much socially.
Yeah, and you enjoy social things, but
I do,
but
and
it drains you.
Yeah, I don't know. It can be very easy to ignore our social battery, which is kind of what I'm doing right now, and spread ourselves thin, or just not know, kind of like, you know, where the optimal socialization is for
you.
You
want to be a shut-in, but you can't be a party animal.
Yeah. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more time alone. I don't know. Maybe you need a little bit of both. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Tom, we are, as everybody knows, very pro-therapy on this podcast.
Yes.
Anybody can benefit from therapy. It's not just for people, you know, dealing with trauma.
Yeah, or going through tough times.
Yeah, it's helpful for learning positive coping skills and setting boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, Tom. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, like you, Tom. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/complete guide today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/complete guide.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Tom.
Yeah.
This week we're talking about, hey, guess what we're doing this week?
What?
We're streaming.
Oh, okay.
Like all the kids.
Yeah.
Netflix and chill, right?
Uh-huh. Now, what does that mean?
That's something that you'd read about in the Penthouse Forum.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Dear Penthouse Forum.
I mean, feel like that was never really a thing. That was a thing that adults latched onto. It's like, you know, that's what teens are calling hooking up now.
Teens,
guys, I imagine whatever teens are doing right now, none of us want to know about.
Yeah. Teens have moved on from crunking to Netflixing and chilling.
There was a brief stopover in twerking.
Twerking, yeah.
Yeah.
You can still twerk while you chill, is my understanding.
Chill is making out?
I think it's anything.
Any of the bases.
Any of the bases. It's up to your imagination.
But you put on Netflix.
Anywhere from making out to Penthouse Forum.
Oh, wow. But the stipulation is a movie or television program has to be streaming in the background?
Yeah. I mean, it's basically just the old standby of, I guess not all generations had this, but like, for our generation, it would have just been like when we were in college or whatever, like, hey, you want to like come over and watch Boondock Saints?
Yeah, everybody loved everybody. Yeah. Every weekend, every dorm room on the floor had Boondock Saints in the DVD player and a sock on the door.
Yeah. I think it was just like, hey, you want to come over and like watch a movie or something? And it's like, yeah, we all know what's really going to happen, but you're not going to say like, he want to come over and heavily pet each other.
Yeah.
It's like, nah, come over and watch a movie. And then you can be like, no, we're just watching a movie.
Hey, and listen, baby boomers, you're not exempt from this. Ever hear of the drive-in?
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't have portable video discs or whatever.
Mm-hmm. whatever they're
digital
called.
Digital versatile discs to pop in and watch Boondock Saints. You had to watch Boondock Saints the old-fashioned way on a big screen from a film reel.
Yeah, while sitting in your car.
Yeah.
With a couple of speakers hanging off the sides.
Now, when I was a kid, mm-hmm. and we went and saw Short Circuit 2 at the drive-in,
mm-hmm.
Were your parents
making out the whole time?
I wrote a Penthouse forum letter of my own that was just like, Dear Penthouse Forum, something terrible happened.
Me and my brother were sitting in the backseat looking to enjoy Short Circuit 2.
The further adventures of Johnny Five.
Yeah.
Johnny
Five's alive.
But we didn't have the speakers. It was tune your car radio.
Yeah, I mean, we did too. I think it was only like in the 50s. Yeah. They like didn't have the technology.
That stinks. What tinny sound they had to watch Rebel Without a Cause or whatever.
You know what? Actually, it might have been the opposite. It might have been that the speakers were better than like your car's radio.
I can't imagine that. Oh, back in the day.
Yeah, like when it was like, oh, well, we could broadcast this via AM signal to your car. Mm-hmm. You can listen to this movie in mono.
But no, children, we're not Netflixing and chilling. We're Netflix and
pilling. We're taking pills.
Yeah. No, we're Netflix and thrill killing. That's when you put Netflix on as an alibi. And then when you're accused of murdering somebody for enjoyment, you can
tell
be like,
hey, check the Netflix logs.
Check the logs.
I was watching Boondock Saints at that time.
Yeah, I was watching Boondock Saints for the third time that weekend. There's lots of levels to it. That guy, what's that guy that I hate? With his face.
What? I don't know.
Man with the stupid face in Boondock Saints.
I don't know.
He's a famous actor.
I think all of them had stupid faces in that movie. I think that's one of the reasons why.
I think you're being a little too tough on Boondock Saints.
Why that movie hasn't...
Willem Dafoe.
Oh, Willem Dafoe.
With the face.
Yeah, with the
face. Now you understand?
Oh, yeah.
Out of all the guys in that movie, he's the one with the face.
I have all the guys in all movies, he's the one with the face.
Yeah. Get that. Yeah, what's with the puss? That's what I'd say to Willem Dafoe if I ever met him.
Yeah, and then he'd probably go like, ha! Like, oh, God, please put the puss back on.
Please don't bite me. We're talking about Netflix, the company, Tom.
Yeah.
A company that I'll let the record show I've been bullish on since the very beginning.
Okay.
Do you remember when Netflix came out? It was like the movie pass of its day.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
like, how are these fuckers going to keep this up? No way. Look, I'll sign up now, and you'll just send me any DVD, and I can keep it as long as I want.
Mm.
DVDs, too. Yeah. How depressing, huh?
Well, from what I was reading, they said, like, basically that the two founders were like, hey, you see this new company, Amazon.com?
Reed Hastings?
Yeah. And a different guy.
Reed Hastings is a cool name.
Yep.
But it's like a cool name for a jerk.
Yeah.
Like he's a guy that you know is a jerk, but you're like, he's a jerk, but he's fun to hang out with.
Sorry, Tim. I'm going to the dance with Reed Hastings.
Exactly. And I'd be like,
that jerk?
That jerk. But then deep down, it's like, Veronica was right to do that.
Yeah. And then Reed would come up behind you and pants you.
Yeah, and be like, what's up, Reed? Oh, good to see you. Good one, Reed.
Tim, in all of your high school...
What is that, a Mad magazine in your locker? No, Reed. It's a penthouse one.
In all of your fantasies, Tim, do you just go to high school at Riverdale High?
Yeah.
You just called the previously unnamed anonymous girl that you were asking to prom, Veronica.
Yeah.
All right.
She's the coolest girl in school.
Let the record show.
She's rich. Her dad's a criminal.
Yeah.
She sings sometimes with Josie and the Pussycats.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, she's the whole package. Yeah. You're a fool for not thinking Veronica's...
I'd ask Betty, but that's just me.
Betty's got a dark side, though.
I get my ass kicked by Jughead nowadays.
Mm. Jughead's a pacifist. He'd mostly just... He'd glare
at me.
Yeah, exactly. He'd brood until you went, fine. Stop brooding.
Fine.
This isn't fun. It isn't fun for me if you're going to be always in my peripheral vision brooding while I'm taking your ex-girlfriend on a date.
Fine. You date Betty. I'll go eat hamburgers at the diner, I guess.
Yeah, man.
But anyway, so basically
Maybe that's what Jughead needs to finally get him eating hamburgers on that show.
Oh, getting depressed about Betty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get Betty out of the picture. Eat a hamburger.
Yeah, make you feel better.
Skin and bones.
So basically these guys, they saw how good Amazon was doing, and they were like, we should like have a thing, an online thing where we sell something via mail.
Hmm.
And originally they were going to like sell DVDs too. And they, I didn't realize this, they didn't launch with the, like, unlimited DVD thing. It was, like, $2.99 a rental.
Oh, okay. But the thing was,
mm-hmm.
no late fees. Everybody hated Blockbuster because of their dang late fees.
I'm not sure. There's a lot of evidence that basically, like, they kind of changed their stories a few times about all that.
Because here's the story I heard.
Yeah.
Reed Hastings, mm-hmm. That scoundrel who stole my prom date.
Yeah,
he had made $750 million from selling his Pure Software, which is a company.
Mm-hmm.
I took notes this week, Tom. But he started Netflix because he got a $40 late fee at Blockbuster, and he was like, "What the?" But this guy had friggin' three quarters of $1 billion in the bank.
Yeah, buy a movie if you want to watch it.
Yeah, Jesus. Oh, I have to give it? Oh, just because they want to rent it to somebody else? But are you saying Reed Hastings is a liar and a scoundrel and a
saying,
bully?
I'm saying that a lot of, he claimed he got a $40 late fee on Apollo 13.
It wasn't Apollo. It was Jade. that movie Jade?
Yeah, he was like, boy, I gotta see
this barbed wire with Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, see why this guy left NYPD blue. We run Jade. No, it sounds like that this was like a convenient, like clever story for them to tell in interviews later. Mm-hmm. That was like, no, this wouldn't exist if I hadn't gotten so dang mad at Blockbuster.
I mean, I won't sit here and have you impugn Reed Hastings' truthfulness here.
I'm just saying it's a convenient story. Like, that might have happened, but that was not the impetus of the company. Impetus, it sounds like, was, hey, Amazon selling things online. We should sell things online. They originally were going to start. They were right place, right time, too, because they were originally going to send VHSs.
You dummies.
Yeah.
They're so heavy.
Exactly. That's what
they crack in the mail. Actually, DVDs would crack in the mail. How did they get them not to crack in the mail?
They mailed one to themselves, and they were like, it seems fine.
No, that was to copyright the idea. They wrote the idea in an envelope, sealed it, and mailed it to themselves.
And put a DVD in there, too.
Oh, okay.
I mean, DVDs are pretty
they're
durable.
Plastic. They're versatile.
They are versatile.
Digital
they are,
versatile discs, Tom.
Yes. They're. I think these were basically... Because do you remember, like, as a kid? I remember, like, the first CDs I got, it was like...
They were
These
thick.
Are Fabergé eggs, though.
Oh, no, they were thick.
No, really?
I don't know. I thought you were going somewhere else, but then I was trying to prematurely support your premise.
They were thick as a pizza.
Yeah, you're right. They were indestructible. I think this was the thing. I think my dad bought Sgt. Pepper for the 40th time.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, this is the last time I'm going to buy this goddamn album. Yeah. Tim,
like, you said that when you bought the 8-track.
Yeah. Tim... I know these things scratch and then become unusable. These things are as fragile as a Fabergé egg.
Yeah.
Don't touch it. I think it was like, I spent $25 on this thing, and I don't really understand what it is. And it kind of got drilled into our heads that they were a little bit more fragile.
Yeah, because like when I was a kid, like the first DVD or first CDs I had before DVDs, yeah, I mean, I like... all but put gloves on to handle these things. And then, like, it's funny because then, like, later, like, in college, I remember, like, just having, like, stacks of burned CDs and, like, just kind of being like, yeah, whatever.
You'd light your cigars with a
with a
CD.
A lit CD.
Mm-hmm. You'd light a CD on fire first.
I can only remember, like, a handful of times where, like, a CD or DVD got so scratched that it wouldn't play.
Yeah, I mean, they'd skip.
No, even skipping. Like,
you
need
tell
like,
me. Stop telling me that my CDs didn't skip.
Well, I had a nice CD player. It's a strong laser.
How dare you? You know my CD player was just as strong, and the laser was just as laser pointed as yours. No, the laser, you want to be thin.
Fine.
You want a
just
thick laser.
Fine. But I think that they... The Reed Hastings and another guy were the first people to be like, I think it's fine if you kind of scratch DVDs. They'll be fine.
That's true.
And then eventually I think they figured out like how many times a DVD could be sent through the mail before it became like unreadable.
Right.
And they just factored that into replacement costs or whatever. And they probably only had to replace Boondock Saint DVDs. Everything else probably didn't get rented enough.
Maybe Jade.
Maybe Jade.
But most people would just...
No, because Jade...
Order Jade and just keep it.
Yeah, well,
and
no...
be like, I'll pay $9.99 a month to just rent this Jade DVD.
Well, once Jade came to HBO, though, that probably was a big hit to them.
But guess what? This was before HBO Go and HBO Now.
Yeah, to be like, well, I guess Saturday at 8:00, I'll watch the HBO premiere movie Jade.
Yeah, but then you got to be like, you guys all have to leave on Saturday.
You guys can't be around. Why are you watching the movie in the bedroom, Tim? Watch it in the living room. Watch it on the big screen.
I want to hear all the dialogue. You're always talking over it and chewing popcorn. I like it. It's pretty cool when they sent DVDs through the mail, right?
Yeah.
That was a terrible job for people, huh?
Oh, like stuffing DVDs in those weird factories?
Yeah. I never once got the wrong DVD from them, and I was a power user.
Yeah.
I was on the, I think, the five at a time. Wow. No, I was on the three at a time.
Yeah, yeah. Now your story's changing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just
I remember
like Reed Hastings.
I remember stories about them, like the distribution centers had to be like secret. Like they wouldn't say where any of their DVDs
were freaking plastic gold at the time.
Yeah, because he was like, well, if somebody knew, they might break in and steal millions of dollars worth of movies that they could easily sell.
Yeah,
and it's like, well, now you can't give DVDs away.
I gave them away to Goodwill. They didn't want to take them, but I did.
Yeah,
I did. I made them take it.
He said only because we have a Goodwill.
Do you have a DVD player, Tom?
No, I don't think, like, my PS4 plays Blu-rays. Mm-hmm. I don't think it can play DVDs, or it can't play CDs, one of the two.
Was that, like, the shortest lifespan of a format?
No.
Because when did, did Blu-ray come out? Like, 2007?
Yeah, no. Yeah, because PlayStation 3 was Blu-ray.
Okay, I don't know.
Well, no, because that was like the PlayStation 2 used DVDs, and that was like, in hindsight, apparently like a gigantic factor in the PlayStation 2 success, because a PlayStation 2 was like $50 less than a DVD player. So many people were like, oh, well, I'll just get this and then I'll be able to play games too.
Tom, can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
I was an early adopter of the DVD player.
Of the digital. You said, these discs sure are versatile.
Yeah. And I was like, Mom, Dad, buy me this for Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember you was that high school or college?
It was high school, baby.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
High school kid with a DVD player.
Yeah.
Like a regular Richie Rich.
Yeah, I was. More like the boy from Silver Spoons, because I also made them buy me that train.
That you could ride on?
Yeah, the boy-sized train.
In fairness, at the time, you were a man, but you still
I wasn't a man. I was like 17.
It's almost a man.
Yeah. That's what you'd like the judge to believe.
What's that supposed to mean, Tim?
I don't know. Yeah, terrible job. Tom,
mm-hmm.
Here's the other thing.
Yeah.
I think... I thought it was cool that they were sending DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have much money, so I was like, cool. I don't want to pay these late fees. Although, how hard is it to just drop off your dang things when you're done with
them? It's not hard. It's just you got to remember.
Yeah, but...
And I know where I ran into problems, like in high school, renting like movies and games, was that I was so bored all the time that I would like go to Blockbuster pretty much every day, especially like once I had a car and I could use my parents' car and mm-hmm. I could drive to Blockbuster. Like I would go every day. So then sometimes I would have like three or four things that I'd be like, ooh, which one do I take out first? Like
life together, man. Get a color coded system. I don't know.
But you could say that about all of this stuff.
Yeah, sure. I don't know.
I'm just saying that's how I would often get late fees. Color coded system. I remember. Yeah.
Maybe you should have had some friends instead of just renting movies and games all the time.
I was your friend.
I know.
I was renting them to play them on your DVD player.
welcome.
I would always think, like, oh, I'll remember the order I rented these in and which day certain things were due back.
Write it down.
And then also, like, when Blockbuster went to, like, oh, some of these things are a two-day rental and some are five.
Yeah, the new releases were two-day rentals.
Yeah, but then it was like, well, now...
They had to replenish the stock, Tom.
Now if I rent a new movie and an old movie, I'm going to have to go back to Blockbuster twice.
You said you were going every day, sir. Just figure it out, man.
Well, it took a while before I realized that I could return a movie and rent a new movie in the same trip. I thought.
Oh, no, Tom. No,
yeah.
They didn't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can park once.
In fact, they encouraged it.
Yeah, park once, drop it off on the way in.
Yeah.
You won't even
I still remember video rentals when it was like a breakthrough technology, the idea to put the return slot outside the store.
Wow.
So you didn't have to, like, it didn't matter if the store was open or not.
Is that why Golden Video went out of business?
I think so.
Because they didn't have that
technology. No, I think eventually they, like, jerry-rigged a slot somewhere.
Yeah.
But it was like, you put it through the slot and then you just, like, watch it, like, bounce into the store. Yeah.
This was a our local village.
Yeah, pre-Blockbuster.
It said that Blockbuster ran Golden Video out of business, which, let's face it, that's what happened.
Right. Well, that's all these years later, we can say it.
But I liked Blockbuster Video. I liked it better. Look, Tom, here's what I like to do. I liked making it a Blockbuster night.
Yeah.
I liked going down to the Blockbuster alone sometimes, sometimes with friends, sometimes with a significant other. Blockbuster
your wife at the time.
My wife at the time, my first or second wife. And like being like, all right, we're going to commit to this. And this is the only thing. We're going to rent this, maybe two things, but like, this is it.
Right.
Like freaking,
we're not going to go home and be like, all right, well, let's see what's on TV and then watch this if we can't find anything else.
The thing is, our brains have been so, and this isn't, for the Netflix when they were mailing DVDs, but the streaming thing.
Yeah.
If I'm not, if I'm not into a movie in the first 7 minutes, I've made a mistake. Oh, and I have literally like hundreds of thousands of other things I can watch right now.
Yeah.
Let me roll the dice again. Like, I don't know. Sometimes things take 8 minutes to get going.
Yeah.
Sometimes they take 15 minutes to get going. They're making our brains all prissy. I don't like it. My brain's like, I don't like this. Turn it off. Find
Show
a new
me
thing.
Something else.
Find a thing that this brain likes better, please.
I didn't realize, but during my research, that Netflix still runs their DVD rental.
Yeah, Quixtar.
No. We'll talk about Quixtar in a minute, but Netflix owns DVD.com, and that's what it's through now.
DVD.com, my favorite destination? That's a Netflix? Ooh, those tricky bastards.
Yeah.
I go to DVD.com all the time. As you know, I was an early adopter. And
straggler as well. DVD.com was like the new DVD releases, right? That's what they would show back in the day?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm headed to DVD.com right now. Oh, it's DVD.netflix.com.
Yeah.
Movies delivered.
It's old redirect.
Huh.
Yeah, so at one point they tried to make a thing called Quixtar, which was going to be...
What was that, 2010 probably?
2011, I think.
People were livid.
Yeah, so basically this was Netflix. It always used to be you got a DVD plan, and then on top of that, you got the streaming.
Now, streaming started, what are we going to say, 2006,
2007? 2007, according to my documents.
I was trying to look it up today, because recently they had they came out with a list of all the original streaming titles they had when they first launched.
Yeah.
And like, I remember the David Wayne movie, The Ten, was on there. And I was like, oh, sweet.
Yeah.
This is going to be a lot
of great
stuff.
Yeah, it was all like independent releases.
And then like nothing else. And like nothing ever changed for like 6 months. And
yeah, there were not new things on there.
And you could kind of watch it on your computer, but like it was still in the time where it was like, you really need to tell me you're going to stream movies? Like I can barely get this QuickTime movie to like not buffer every 5 seconds. Look. I'm still stuck using the real player. That's my player of choice.
Install Microsoft Silverlight to get this working.
But then I remember we were roommates at the time, Tom, and you were like, there's a Netflix box for our TV.
Yeah, for our TV and our TV only.
Well, I think you were like, everybody, I've bought this Netflix Roku. And that was the first iteration of the Roku, right?
Yeah.
It was like Netflix branded.
Yeah, I think it had originally Netflix was going to make their own box and call it the Netflix. So two things. First, they were going to make a Netflix box that like you would decide at night what movie you wanted to see. And it Boondock Saints. And it would download it overnight and keep it
overnight
on the box. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Because I'd rather just drive to Blockbuster.
Because it took so long. So it was like, yeah, overnight. And then
then you still have to commit to a movie.
Yeah. And then the next day we'll be ready for it.
If your girlfriend's like, I don't like this movie. It's like, I spent 9.5 hours downloading this.
We're watching the Boondock Saints.
Yeah, again.
But then once YouTube took off, they were like, oh, you can stream movies instead of download them. So that's when they started their streaming thing. But they were originally going to make a Netflix box, a streaming box themselves. And then very wisely, they were like, if we do this, like, nobody else is going to, like, make a Netflix box because they're going to have to compete with us. And nobody's going to want to do that because we could screw them over at any point. Mm-hmm. So they were the biggest investors.
Vertical integration.
They were the biggest investors in Roku, and Roku started. It wasn't like a subsidiary, but they were mostly owned by Netflix. I don't know what the deal is nowadays.
Business stuff. You wouldn't understand. Me and the other guys in the conference room, this is the kind of stuff we talk about in between talking about the Mad Magazine stuff.
So they were going to do it that way, or they did do it that way. And that's how, because I don't know if you remember, but like, yeah, the Roku box was like the only way to watch Netflix on a TV for like maybe like 6 months. And then out of nowhere, it was like, oh, you can watch it on anything now.
I remember you were like, roommate meeting. And we were all like poor.
Uh-huh.
Because there were like four of us living in one apartment.
Yeah.
You're like, I've bought this Netflix box so we can watch these 12 streaming independent movies. It costs $450, so no, everybody just leave $120 on the counter.
That first Netflix box is like $80. It was like surprisingly affordable. Yeah. Well, I don't know if that box ever got updated to be able to play anything else. I think it could only do Netflix.
Right, and then everybody was like, well, will we be able to watch Boondock Saints? And you were like, well, not yet.
Yeah, but God willing, one day it'll be available.
What about Jade? Can I borrow that box and put it in my room and watch Jade?
No, you can't. Look, if you unplug it, it's not going to work anymore. It has to be plugged into this hardwired connection in our home.
Every week I'm paying $40 in late fees for Jade. I was hoping this would solve my problem.
So, yeah, that's how the streaming started.
Okay, so they had streaming going, and then streaming ramped up. But in 2011, it wasn't like it was neck and neck, right? The DVDs. Because look, there are these goddamn suburbanites that are just like, Redbox. Oh, I could get all the new movies at Redbox. Oh, I signed up for Netflix streaming. Why can't I get this new movie? It's like, don't you understand how things work, you dumb suburbanite?
No. It's not how it happened. By 2010, Netflix streaming business had grown so quickly that within months, the company shifted from the fastest customer of the United States Postal Service to the largest source of internet streaming traffic.
That's exactly what I just said.
In North America in the evening.
Okay.
No, it was 2010, so it was a year earlier. And like the switch happened like quickly, within months.
Like a switch.
The switch happened like a switch.
Yeah.
No, it was like all of a sudden everybody realized, oh, I can watch movies. I can watch these streaming movies. And I think 2010 is probably also around that time.
You could
watch
WALL-E. I remember.
Yeah.
I watched that.
2010 is probably also around the time that it started getting integrated into some TVs. But the biggest thing was like 2010 was around when the video game system started supporting the streaming. So then it was like, oh, all these people have systems already. Interesting fact here. In 2011, like 42% of streams happened on a computer.
All right, that wasn't interesting.
Excuse me. 25% of views happened on Nintendo Wii.
I thought Wii wasn't...
Wii was late to the game.
You had to put in a disc into the Wii to make Netflix work.
Early on. Because we had a Wii when we were living together, and
that was a very... Whoa, step back. That was a very confusing sentence. We had a Wii?
Yeah.
What? What? Yeah. What? You and I and a Nintendo Entertainment
System. Because I don't know if you remember that I also called a house meeting when I got that streaming disc.
Yeah.
Said Netflix has just sent us a disc that they never want back.
And then we were like, we what about that very good. Expensive box that we couldn't even watch the Boondock Saints on?
Fuck that box. It's all about putting this disc in, waiting for that to load, and then watching it on the Wii here. I do remember thinking it was weird when you had to like go and request that disc, and then you were like put in a queue, and it would like take a while.
I found that disc in my home recently. I don't know how it wound up in my home.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah. That's like a killer's calling card or something.
What do you mean?
What?
No, it's the one that we had like at the time. It was like
well,
in a box somewhere.
Even Tim, I burned that disc years ago. I do remember thinking.
What's the implication about that disc? That I killed somebody, or that somebody's after me?
Hey, look, whatever you say, man. I remember thinking it was weird that that disc came in like a regular Netflix container or envelope.
You think they were going to make new envelopes?
Yeah, but it was just weird that it's like, yeah, I'm never going to have to send this back.
Wow, Tom.
What a world.
What a world.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I still definitely have a few Netflix DVDs that I reported as missing. And then, like, found later.
What? Oh, they make you pay, like, $20 for them or something, right?
No, usually they were like, no, no problem.
Oh, missing in the mail.
Yeah, I'd say, no, I mailed them. I gave them to the mailman. Yeah. I told him it was important to give them back to you. He didn't bring them back? Ooh, boy.
My mailman. I've had problems with him, Reed. Reed, you got to believe me. I'm trying to do the right thing.
Look,
here.
I'm trying to get these DVDs back to you. I know a lot of people want to watch the Boondock Saints. I want them to watch
my
the
mailman,
Boondock
Stuart.
Saints.
Real friggin' can of worms with this guy.
Another interesting fact that I read, it was in 2013, because I remember, because I used to work for a video website, and we ran into this problem.
A pornography site?
No, not a pornography site, but a pornography-related problem, where we were unable, and so is Netflix, we like later found out once we ran into problems, to automatically share what people were watching on Facebook.
That stinks.
And
nobody
like,
wants to do that.
No,
stuff.
Nobody, of course. Well, this was like a little bit of a different time. But like Netflix wanted you to be able to be like, hey, I'm watching the Boondock Saints, like, and post it to
and
all your
it's
friends.
Like, all my friends are like, we know.
Yeah, no duh, so are we.
But I don't want them to know that I'm watching Jade.
Yeah, it's a real conundrum.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to turn that feature on.
Yeah,
and off.
Exactly. Look, if somebody's like, "Oh, Tim's watching Boondock Saints."
Cool.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. Next time I see him, it's a high five situation.
Yeah.
Jade.
It's like, oh, I know what he's doing. Do you know why that was illegal?
The sharing of no.
It was the Video Privacy Act of 1988, because
Sonny Bono.
Maybe it was him.
I have no idea.
Reagan had nominated a new
Ronald Reagan
yeah. had nominated a new Supreme Court justice. He said to some guy, "Well, I want you to be on the Supreme Court for me." Old, what was it? The Gipper.
The Gipper.
For
you were
going to
say Old Blue Eyes, weren't you?
For me, Old Blue Eyes, Ronald Reagan. And during this guy's Supreme Court proceedings, they brought out his video rental history.
Ah.
And you know what was on there? I always assume like, oh yeah, he was renting like adult movies.
What was he supposed to be? What was he appointed to?
Supreme Court.
Oh, okay. This wasn't. Wait,
he didn't. He got denied.
Someone got okay. What was in his history? Who was this? What's his name?
So another interesting thing. His name is. I'm not sure his first name was, but his last name was Bork. And
oh yeah, he got Borked.
Where we get that phrase
yeah,
from.
Yeah, Robert Bork.
Yeah,
but like they got him because of his video rentals.
That wasn't how they got him.
Okay.
Because
like that guy, Tom.
Yeah,
Robert Bork. A lunatic.
Yeah, and that's why he didn't get
the guy was a freaking zealot.
Yeah. I always assumed
I thought this was a different guy from Bork, and I was like, I didn't hear about this one.
Yeah.
I'm making up stories.
I always assumed like, oh, they got his rental history and it was, you know, like Debbie Does Dallas and whatever, you know, the big 80s pornos.
Yeah.
You know what was on his list, his rental. You know what he had most recently rented? A Day at the Races, the Marx Brothers movie.
Did that sink his Supreme Court nomination?
No, but basically what happened, it's
like, this guy's a loser.
What a loser. He's rented old 30s movies at the video store.
Also, the Republicans of the 80s.
Yeah.
Were probably Marx Brothers, a little racy, don't you think?
Yeah, A Day at the Races. Ugh. All the races? Well, I don't know about that. Basically, it sounds like the next year, the Republican Congress was like, ooh, they can get rental histories? Let's make that a thing that they're not able to get.
You know how they say that, pornography drives all, technology?
Yeah.
Right?
It's what led to VHS and DVD adoption, VR.
I feel like that's the same for, legislation, right? It was like... Oh, a bunch of senators realized they didn't want their
histories.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, man, pornography makes this country progress.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and this is in the 80s.
We don't care about privacy. Oh, wait. Oh, yes. Oh, we do care about privacy. I forgot.
In the 80s, to get a video card membership, you need to bring your social security number and...
The friggin' Golden Video down in the village was paying $500 for a copy of Short Circuit 2.
I'm not sure the exact dollar amount.
No,
but
it was more than that. It was $1,000, right?
No, I don't think it was that much.
Because you were gonna rent it out,
right. Yeah, they charged knowing, you're gonna rent these. Those rental places too, I think when my parents, I have to ask, but when you join those, when you join a rental place, it is different with Blockbuster. It was oh, you want to join our rental service? All right. Well, we just need a, $2,000 membership fee.
What? Does that get returned to you?
You got free rentals. That's what it was. Okay.
It wasn't $2,000 though, was it?
I think it was a lot. Because I remember a decade later, we still had movie. It was I forget what the stipulations were, because sometimes my parents would just have me run in to grab a video.
Did Golden Video just take $2,000 from everybody in our town and then close up shop a couple years later?
No, this is a long time later. I think at a certain point, the memberships were free.
Mm.
But I think it was initially it was look, we're going to have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy 200 videos for people to rent. So we need that money up front, basically. But we'll give it back to you. You'll be able to go and rent. Because I remember for years, I would be able to go in there and be like, I'm going to rent this R80. And that was
R80, huh?
Yeah.
Let this go publicly, Tom?
Yeah. If anybody has a time machine and goes back and says R80, it was, I think it was the 80th membership for our last name.
Yeah.
Our
last name. Yeah, there were 80 other Reynolds, we know.
Our last name.
Our/R. Yeah.
No,
people say it different ways.
Our last name.
Tom, I wanted to work at Blockbuster so bad.
Well, I don't think they had a very high...
Guess what? I went to their kiosk.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I'd like to get hired.
What kiosk?
There was a kiosk in the Blockbuster that was apply to work here.
Yeah.
And then it's like, do you agree to be drug tested?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't want to pee in front of somebody.
No. I want to pee in front of everybody at a Blockbuster?
Yeah, and I really was just like...
Oh,
no,
it
I'd
was
rather
like a
not.
Like a digital kiosk.
Yeah. And it was you enter your name, you enter your address, you enter whatever. And it was have you ever been convicted of a crime? No.
Yes.
And it's do you want to
watch movies?
Yeah. And I was like, hell yes. Mm-hmm. There was a hell yes button for that one. Okay. I feel like that was the right answer. But then I was like, I don't want to pee in front of somebody. And I was dumb enough to be like, it must be optional. So it immediately was like, sorry, you can't work at Blockbuster. I was like, shit. So I went to the other Blockbuster in West Islip.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, okay, now I'll know. Fine, I'll pee in front of somebody.
Fine, I'll pee into this machine.
But as soon as I put my name in, they were like, sorry, we're not hiring.
Sorry, we're not hiring drug addicts. Yeah,
it was the biggest mistake of my life.
Yeah.
I really think that set me on a bad path, and I can't get into it. Why? I think I'd be... I was destined
to be the CEO of Blockbuster today.
I think I was destined for bigger and better things, and I can pinpoint that as my downfall. I'm a little bitter about it.
Yeah, but Tim, you just said today you spilled a Mad magazine out in front of a bunch of businessmen.
Yeah, I know, because you know what? Now, who cares?
Oh, you're just all screwed up
yeah,
now?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not saying I'm in the right place now. It's all messed up.
We didn't even really talk that much about Netflix.
Yeah, we did. Well, hold on. Let's talk about
video rentals in general.
Yeah, we talked about Netflix, kind of the origin of Netflix. Yeah. Maybe we could do another one on like Netflix original programming or something.
Yeah.
Because we didn't even get into
any of the shows.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of one original programming.
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things.
House of Cards. Orange is the New Black.
The Gilligals.
All the Marvel stuff. I'm talking original.
Mindhunter.
Yeah.
Lost in Space. Mm-hmm. Luke Cage.
I said Marvel stuff.
Yeah, but I just wanted to.
Yeah, they're supposed to have something like 700 new series this year.
Tom, we're not talking about that this week.
Yeah.
That's in our Netflix original programming episode. Can we talk about Quixtar real quick?
Yes.
So they split off and they were like, okay, we went from being the highest customer of, not the highest customer, that's Cheech and Chong, of the U.S. Postal Service to the most bandwidth. For
Tim,
everybody.
A quip like that would have also lost you that Blockbuster job. How's this guy know about Cheech and Chong? You're fired.
No, I would love. They would be like, "Oh, great, he'll categorize Up in Smoke correctly."
Right.
Wait,
that was one of their big problems.
Yeah.
They know. Is it going drama or comedy?
Exactly.
We don't know.
It's a comedy. Come on, I know Cheech and Chong.
Yeah, they had Blockbuster had like very few categories. It was like drama, comedy, and kids.
Yeah. And classics.
And action.
And, you know, everything appropriate.
And foreign.
Reed Hastings was just like, DVDs are done.
Yeah.
We're going to spin it off into this other thing called Quixtar, Quixtar.
.com.
And everybody lampooned them.
Yeah.
Mercilessly.
They lost 800,000 customers. Like, it almost sunk the company.
Really?
Because people were so mad. Like, basically, they did a bad job communicating it. Basically, like, they saw the writing on the wall. They saw, like, all right, people are buying these DVD rental subscriptions, but they're, like, they're having the same DVDs out for months because they're just watching the streaming stuff.
Yeah. They wanted us to send our DVDs back.
For good.
And then they wouldn't have to send us anymore.
Yeah. And they were like, all right, we're going to split up these two services. And if you, if you don't change anything and you just stick to streaming, I think it was like your monthly fee is going to go down.
Yeah. Look, they communicated badly.
But if you really want DVDs still, you can sign up for Quixtar in addition to Netflix.
Right.
But Quixtar was...
Lampooned.
Lampooned and DOA.
Dead on arrival. Would you like to solve a problem?
Yes.
Hello and welcome to Tim and Tom Solve Your Problems. I'm Tim.
I'm Tom.
And we're going to solve a problem. If you have a problem you'd like us to solve, email us at thecompleteguidetoeverything@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a problem that you want us to solve in front of a live audience in London on September 14th or 15th,
and you're
going to
be at the show.
Yeah, exactly. Email us at that same address and let us know what show you're going to. It'll be fun.
And include the problem.
Tom, this one comes from an anonymous girl in need of help.
All right.
What do you want to call her?
Bessie.
Bessie. I was going to say Betsy, but Bessie is better.
Yeah.
Dear Tim and Tom, please don't use my real name just in case my family member listens to this.
One family member? What happened?
It's a tragic tale. I've got a problem, and it has been stressing me out for a few weeks now, so I thought, who better to help me in this situation than the best problem solvers in the business? I am currently living in Australia.
Nice.
Good day. Down under, Tommy.
Good day, mate.
Do the other one. Shrimp.
Barbecue. Oh, let's put some shrimp on the barbecue.
Exactly. And I've been here for 8 months. My mom and dad have wanted to travel to Thailand for a few years. There's a lot of destinations going on here. It'll all come together. Huh?
Bring out the globe.
They've been wanting to travel to Thailand for a few years and currently live in my hometown in Scotland.
I'm serious, Tim. Bring out the globe that we use so we can keep
Scotland,
track of all this.
Australia, Thailand.
Yeah, put
and
pins
we're in the
in,
U.S.
Put Jesus pins and all Christ. That. All right, pin in the U.S. for us.
They finally booked their trip of a lifetime to Thailand. So as it's halfway point, I'm familiar with the country. I'm going to meet them there with my boyfriend, and I cannot wait.
Yeah,
Bessie, I'm happy for you.
Yeah,
but guess what?
Probably some surfer boyfriend.
Probably,
yeah.
Or a kangaroo. I want to introduce my parents to my kangaroo boyfriend. He's a boxer.
Yeah, and he's ripped.
However, I have a family member who lives near me in Australia and has been here for the past several years. I never had much contact with her before I came here, but as I am now close by, halfway across the world from our hometown, mm-hmm. she has been spending a lot of time with me and my boyfriend. She doesn't have many friends, as her company can soon wear thin. Not where she's working.
Right.
She's very argumentative, like you, Tom, and has an opinion about everything, like you, Tom. It doesn't surprise me that not many people can be in her company for very long, like you, Tom. When I told, this is all her words.
Wow, unnecessarily mean.
Yeah, sorry. When I told her I was meeting my mom and dad in Thailand, she took it upon herself to book a flight for the exact same dates into the exact same places, gatecrashing our trip. I told my parents, and they were not pleased. Yeah. We already have booked our hotels and several day trips, and I don't want to give her any of the details, so she just makes her own arrangements.
That ain't going to happen.
Having her there will just ruin the dynamics, and it's putting a downer on the whole trip. Who just books a flight and invites themselves on someone else's planned holiday? That means vacation, Tom. Mm-hmm. A good-for-nothing stinker, that too.
You got that right.
You know what they say, two's a company and three's a crowd, four's a good presence, and five's just loud.
I don't think I've heard they've gone that far. I've usually stopped people before they get that
far. All right, say no more. How can I address this with her if she asks for the hotel names of where we are staying? Any tips to make sure she doesn't ruin our trip anymore would be helpful. Thanks, anonymous girl in need of help, a.k.a. Bessie. P.S. Love the podcast. It's the first one I've ever listened to, and I've now backlogged every episode.
Great.
Don't listen to anything. Yeah, like listen. This is what I always say. Listen maybe 2 months back. Before that, I can't.
Oh, no, I was
anything.
Saying don't listen to any other podcasts.
Oh, okay.
You struck gold on the first
try.
Oh,
no, don't listen to anything that we've done. Like, I don't stand by anything I've said in the last, beyond the last couple months. I'm woke now, Tom.
Did she say how they're related?
I'm going to say, she says she has a family. I'm going to say it's a cousin.
Yeah, because I'm curious, like, the difference or similarity in ages, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it seems weird. I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. I don't know the situation.
Like, if this is
they're
a
relative
town.
They're from the same town in Scotland.
Right.
And they're related, presumably cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bessie winds up in the same Australian town as her.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we're going to get an email from this other woman next week. She's like, help me out. Like, this relative followed me all the way from Scotland to Australia and moved into my same hometown and acted like it was a coincidence.
You think Bessie's the one who's at fault
I'm just
here.
Saying.
Bold.
I'm looking at the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways.
I can't remember the next line.
No message could have been any clearer. If you want to make a start to make the change, take a look at yourself and make Something like that.
If you want to make the world a better place.
If you want to make the world, yeah. If you want to get it right. Anyway.
Best Michael Jackson song, Man in the Mirror, right? Hands down.
No,
you
not
want to
hands
say
down.
Demon.
No way. Smooth Criminal is my favorite.
Really?
Love Smooth Criminal.
You love crime
boom,
so
boom,
much.
Boom, boom, boom. I love criminals.
Yeah.
And that song, it's like a how-to. It's like a handbook of how to be a smooth criminal.
Yeah.
I will say this. I mean, it would have been better if you'd done this earlier. But people like this, I know a few people like this. Like the
stop
cousin
looking at me like this.
You got to be direct. These people do not. The idea that if you don't tell her what hotel you're staying at, that somehow that's going to work.
Yeah.
Is come on. You're kidding yourself. And you're kidding yourself all like.
Hey, you're playing yourself.
You're playing yourself.
You know what my number one rule is? Tim's number one rule. Don't play yourself.
You got to. With people like this, because I know of other people, I know of like people that are similarly come to me for advice about people like this. You got
to
be direct.
Who's coming to you for advice? To
everyone.
Real life?
You got to be direct with these people. They
okay.
will not.
So what do you say? I'm Bessie's cousin. Just like, hey, just wondering if I can.
I mean,
get,
like,
where are
now,
you staying?
Now it's kind of too late. You know.
Well, I mean. If Bessie wants to burn the bridge, she could just be like, if you can't stand this girl's company and you just want to be like, just tell her, like, I'm not going to tell you because you're going to ruin our vacation. But I don't know if you want, or you would say holiday, I guess.
I think the only thing you could do at this point would be to go back to this woman and be like, look, this is like my parents' big trip. They're meeting my boyfriend, presumably for the first time. If it's not the first time, lie and say it's the first time. Like, this is a big deal. Like, I'm really sorry, but, like, it's inappropriate for you to come. Like, you didn't ask. And, like, I don't feel comfortable about it because, you know, this is, like, an immediate family thing.
Counterpoint.
Yeah.
Give her all the information. Hand over an itinerary.
Mm-hmm.
Say you can't wait to hang out with her. This is going to be great. Finally, you were hoping that she would
come along.
Put a bunch of ecstasy in her bag. She'll get picked up at the airport. Yeah. Be like, hey, let's go to the airport together for Christ's sakes.
And the nice thing
make
about
sure
getting
you're going through security first.
Yeah.
Put like a fuck ton of ecstasy in the bag.
Make sure she gets trafficking charges.
Yeah.
Like, and the best thing is, like, a country like Thailand, they'll put her in jail forever.
Exactly. You'll never have to see her again.
Yeah.
And then she'll be like, oh, man, but Bessie really wanted to hang out with me. She's such a nice, sweet girl.
Yeah.
She'll never
I know. Shouldn't have tried to traffic all this ecstasy.
Why would she think Bessie has clearly never spoken up?
Yeah.
Look, Bessie, Tom, email Tom directly. He can get you an ecstasy hookup in Australia.
Yeah.
And just put like pounds of it in her bag. Or just like a lot of cocaine.
Yeah, I mean.
Is it illegal to traffic cocaine out of Australia?
Yeah, it's illegal to traffic cocaine, I think, anywhere.
I don't know what these things are.
Even
it's
Colombia.
It's a criminal. It's a nation
true.
Of criminals, Tom.
Again, not telling her where you're going to be and stuff. That's,
you're screwed. You have to play dumb and frame her for a crime.
Honestly, the other thing you could do is you could give her the itinerary, but tell her like, ooh, you can make the itinerary all things that like she can't get tickets for anymore.
Yeah.
Or
I mean, that seems like a big lift.
Yeah.
What if she tries to talk her way
you
in?
Could give her the you could give her your itinerary, but you could say something like, we're going to be doing a lot of stuff that's just like the immediate family, so I don't know like how much time we'll have to spend with you. But here's like a rough idea of our plans.
Something just occurred
to
me.
But please make sure you make your own plans. I don't want you to. I mean, you could be honest.
Just frame her for a goddamn crime.
No,
it's not that hard.
You could be honest.
I framed 100 people for crimes.
You could be honest and say, here's the itinerary, But I hope you're making your own plans, because we have a lot of our own plans.
Yeah, and then you wink and then you family. Put a gun in her fucking carry-on. I get it. Tom, it also occurs to me, she asked us not to use her name, but she is a woman who moved from Scotland to Australia, who lives near her relative who also did the same thing and has planned a trip to Thailand with her family. Yeah, if her relative is listening, I don't think she's going to be like, well, I'm not sure this is me. I'm like 20% sure they're talking about me.
I mean, it seems like this person's pretty clueless.
Yeah.
Although I do like the idea that there might be like three or four other people that this situation fits all listening to this now going, like, but I didn't think, you know, my cousin Lisa even listened to podcasts. Well, she did just start, so.
If you like the show, do all the things.
If you like the show, you can check out tcgt.com for more. If you have a problem you'd like us to solve, you can email us, completeguideeverything@gmail.com. You can check out, if you want to support the show, you can go to tcgt.com/Amazon for our Amazon page where you do your normal shopping, but we get a kickback. And tcgt.com/pledge for our Patreon where you get fun bonus mini episodes of things like Fast Food Friday and Riverdale Review and Justice League Minute. You can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/completeguide. Follow us on Twitter @completeguide. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram @TomReynolds.
Follow me on listings @YourPalTim.
And check out our Reddit @r/TCGTE for all you Reddit heads out there.
Yeah, if you want to criticize the show, that's the place to be.
And you can also, if you're going to be in London, September 14th and 15th, we have shows as part of the London Podcast Festival. The 15th is sold out, but 14th tickets are still on sale. TCGTE.com/live. Tim, have you ever let your Netflix lapse since you started?
No, I mean, it just automatically renews, right?
Yeah. They should give us, like, awards or something. I've probably been a Netflix member for, like, 15 years.
I'd win nicest eyes.
No, not superlatives. just like a customer appreciation. Of all
of our customers.
No, you wouldn't. Tim, they have 110 million customers.
Yeah, what are you trying to say about my eyes, Tom? They're not the nicest?
I have 110 million people? Think about some of the celebs that probably have Netflix.
They don't have Netflix.
Frank Sinatra's got Netflix, Tim.
Oh, Blue Eyes?
Yeah.
I can't compete with that. You're right.
We'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.